Okay, we're continuing on with Siman Aleph of Mishneh Berurah. We'll just read inside what we saw before in the Shulchan Aruch, which is on top. Yitgaber ka'ari la'amod haboker la'avodat baro, sheyu me'orer ha'shachar, that a person should rise up like a lion to serve God, that he awakens the morning, that in an ideal situation, a person should even get up before sunrise to be the one to get involved, and we'll see what he's talking about as we can see one in the Shulchan Aruch, that, you know, in an ideal world, things that you should even be saying, that opportunities to say things, to daven, to get involved in Avodas Hashem even before sunrise, even before one goes to Shacharis. Before then, though, remember we saw the Ramah, who already brings it a little bit more down to earth for many of us. The Ramah says, V'al kol panim, lo ya'achiris manat tefillah sha'tzibor mitpalalin. But at the very least, a person shouldn't get up after the time that Shacharis is in shul, meaning you should make sure to at least get up in time to go to shul. We talked about his essay there for the next few lines last time, so we're going to jump forward to the next page. And on the top line in the Ramah on the next page, after the period, the Ramah comments, the lo yit bayesh, it's the same chelak, I think. Is that Aleph? Ve'lo yitbayish mipnei b'nei adam hamaligim alav avodat Hashem yibarach. So the Ramah says that a person shouldn't be embarrassed of people who are going to mock him when he's doing avodas Hashem. Meaning, if the whole idea of what he was saying in this short little essay was that a person should always imagine that they're in front of God, and the choice is, am I embarrassed and that people are going to make fun of me, or should I be embarrassed that I'm not doing avodas Hashem? Then of the two, which one do you pick? You pick that I would be embarrassed to not do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. I would be embarrassed not to do a mitzvah. So even if somebody's going to mock me for doing the mitzvah, even if somebody's going to make fun of me for doing the mitzvah, it's more important that I do the mitzvah. The Mishneh Berurah, in the bottom left, in Sif Katan Hey, says, so it's one thing to say, okay, I know this person is going to mock me, I know this person is going to make fun of me, but don't get into an argument with somebody. The point here is not to be such a dafkanik, right? To not to be so strong in your ways to say, like, oh, you know, like, if he's going to start up with me, like, fine, I'm going to do it and I'll take it up with him. Like, that's not the idea. We're not trying to start fights. Don't be embarrassed. Don't say, like, I don't want to make a scene. I don't want to be like, you know, if you're supposed to do it, if you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat samotzi, so you go wash your hands for you and say a motzi. Just say a bracha. Say a bracha. If you need to go and step out to daven, step out to daven. You do what you need to do in order to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You don't worry that people are going to mock you. But you shouldn't. But the idea here is not, obviously, to get into arguments or fights with people. Mipnei shemidat ha'azut migune me'od. Because the attribute of azut, of brazenness, of being in people's face, of, again, being a dafkanik, is something that's not looked on favorably. It's a negative character trait, and it's not worth it to use it at all, even for Avodas Hashem, in a way where you know people are going to argue with you. So just to recognize that it needs to be balanced. Similarly, if you take a look in Sif Katan Vav, Hamaligim Alav, his vechein im hua adam benoni, omeid bimkom gedolim. If a person's a regular person, he's standing amongst great people, lofty people, people who he looks up to in terms of their Avodas Hashem, lo yipayish bimlumo velasot mitzvah. Meaning, don't think like, it would be really chaval to think that, right? You know, you're sitting in front of some big rabbi, and you're like, I want to say a shahakol, I want to have a drink of water, but like, I don't want to like make it a thing. Like, I don't know what he does when he's a shahakol. I just try to say the bracha. Like, no, say the bracha. Be proud. Be Jewish. Do your thing. I mean, especially if you're sitting in front of somebody who's a gadol. Ach im efshar lo lasot mitzvah lo bifnehem tov yoter. But if you can do it in a way that's tsanua, in a way that's private, that you're not looking like you're making a statement, that's even better. Then he's going to flop the other way. Umihu, however, bifne beinonim. But if you're sitting in front of regular, ordinary people, yesh lomar tov yoter lasot bifnehem. It could be that it's better to do it in front of regular people. Why? Shil midui meinu lasot kemasehu. You're teaching people that it's okay to get up and say bracha. It's okay to get up and wash your hands. Get it up and go and daven. So you're setting a great example. The last line here is really the point. The goal is to have in your heart to do it for l'shem shemayim, as long as you're doing it because you either want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, or you really are genuinely trying to set an example or a model. That's fine. If there's any negative intent involved, so go off to the side and do it yourself. The idea is to find that balance, to make sure that you're doing what God wants and for God. And once you're doing both at the same time, then you're good to go. If you're starting fights, if you're trying to make yourself feel better about yourself, if you're trying to lord yourself other people, all of that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. If you find that right balance, in each situation, that's how a person should conduct him or herself. Tof. So he says next, at the end of the Ramah, on the third line back up top, umiyad shi or mishnato yakum bizrizut lavodat baro yiparach v'italeh. That immediately when he gets up from his sleep, he should get up with excitement, with alacrity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is very lofty. So in terms of getting up bizrizut, so the Mishnah Berurah says, chill out. Actually, he says bizrizut lav dafka. Don't you wake up? Don't like immediately jump out of bed. It's actually not healthy. Eli shema, just wait a few seconds. V'lo yamod pitom. Don't get up suddenly. Gizem mazik laguf. It's just not healthy. Meaning, you know, you get like you just wake up, you jump up, you get lightheaded, and your feet feel kind of floppy, and then you land on the floor. Like that's not what you're supposed to. I'm like, oh, if only I do it enough times, I'd be a real Ovid or Ovedet Hashem. Like that's not the idea. He says, okay, so you wake up, wait a second, and then you know, get up as quickly as possible. So we saw, you know, last time that your Yitzhahar doesn't come and say no, just sleep an extra 20 minutes, half an hour. Hour, 2 hours, 3 hours till noon. You're like, just not, you don't want to get into that cycle. Meaning, definitely get out of bed as quickly as possible, but not in a way, obviously, that would. There's no mitzvah in jumping up and falling down. And then he also puts in here the something which we are hopefully all familiar with. Tov lamar tekef bikumo. One should immediately say when they get up, modani lefanecha melachai v'kayam shechazar tavin shtei b'chema rabbi munatecha. One should say, and he gives the whole line here of modani, that modani should be said immediately upon getting up. A few interesting ha'arot. Just extra little halachot on Moda'ani. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav points out that one should actually say, which fits with the idea that the Mishnah Berurah said, that one should actually say it lying down or sitting up in bed, meaning that should be your few seconds. Like you wake up, you're waking up, the first thing you should do is say Moda'ani. So just do it even before you get out of bed. So you wake up, and then you immediately say, and think about the words are, Moda'ani lefanecha, melech ha'akam, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm thanking you. The first thing I'm doing is thanking God for giving me back my soul and giving me back my life. And there's many people who also comment on the fact that even the way that it's phrased is very careful. It's not animo de la fanecha, I give thanks to you. Because we don't start, in Judaism, we never start with I. We never start with me. We always start with mode. I want to give thanks because that's why we're here. We're Yehudim, milashon Yehuda, milashon Hoda'a. Our definition of who we are is people who give thanks. And that we don't start with I, it's not about me, it's about being thankful and turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's saying, so the Shulchan Aruch HaRav just points out that once you say it lying down or sitting up, you can also, there are others who are medayik from the Mishnah Berurah. We just read, Tov Lamar Tekef Bikumo. Does Bikumo mean when you wake up or when you stand up? So there are others who say you should say it standing up. I would say whatever works for you, both are legitimate options. Additionally, if one dozes off after saying Modani, you're like, oh good, I just learned in Shir that I shouldn't jump out of bed immediately. I wake up, I'm lying in bed, I say Modani, and then you're out cold. So when you wake up again the next time, you should say Modani again. Rav Nevensol, I mentioned last time, I was disclosed to be able to ask Shilas through Rav Ami and Nativ Arye, straight to Rav Nevensol, the chief rabbi of the Old City, one of the Gedolei Hador. So I passed along, there was a machloket about this, that a woman should actually say Modani with a kamatz, Modani lefanecha. Should not say Modani, but should say Modani. So that there is a machloket in the poskim of Nevensol. I'm passing you along the psak of Rav Nevensol, who says that should be said with a kamatz. Yeah.
Why isn't it a bracha though?
Excellent question. Let's go to the next page. we'll skip a few lines ahead to answer that question. Look three lines down into the Mishnah Berurah on the next page, which has a hay on the top. Three lines down into the Mishnah Berurah. For you, it's on the opposite side of the same.
Oh.
Yeah, right,
okay.
There. Three lines down. Yeah. So he says, after the period, the ein sarich lazen itilat yadayim. You don't need to wash your hands before you say moda'ani. Even if your hands are dirty, which we assume that they are anyway, because when a person sleeps, they touch part of their body, which we'll learn when we get to Siman Dalet in a few weeks, just how much and how little a person needs to wash their hands. A lot more than we do, not as much to make us crazy, but we'll get to that in a few weeks. But when a person touches a part of their body, any part of their body that's normally covered up, so they're considered to be dirty and they need to be washed, so you also can't say a bracha. So he says, ki ein mazkir bazeh hanusach shel lo shem v'lo kinoy, because we don't say any name of God. This couldn't be a bracha. If it was a bracha, you couldn't say it immediately upon getting up, because you still need to wash your hands. So specifically, actually, in response to your question, because it's not a bracha, that's why you can say it on getting up. Think about the words. Modeh ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kam is a nice way of saying God, but we don't say God's name. Shechazar tavin yishti bechemla, rabbi munatecha. So there's no God's name there. You can say that before even washing your hands. Okay?
Right, that's always the case. You can never say a bracha.
You can't say a bracha until you wash your hands, and we'll get to all of the more details than you ever wanted to know. We'll get to that later on. We won't talk about washing for a suda. We're going to talk about just washing your hands actually in every instance except for a suda. We'll talk about
it
later.
I feel like you can't walk like four amot.
We covered that last time actually, that according to Rav Nevensol, Shlomo Zalman, and the Gra, Bizman Hazeh, it's fine to get up and walk to the sink and wash your hands at the sink. You don't have to worry about not walking Dalet Amos anymore. I can cover that with you more in depth afterward if you want. We did that last time. Yeah.
Rav Mendel Weiss, do you remember him?
For sure, yes.
So he says there's a problem with saying the bracha for Al Netilat Yadayim in the morning.
We're going to get to all the Netilat Yadayim questions and Netilat Yadayim. It's not going to be simple. We're going to spend a lot of time on it, and all of your questions will be answered by the end. But I'm going to save that till Siman Dalet.
For sure. But
save it for Siman Dalet. Yeah. It would take us longer than the time that we even have left to even begin to talk about it. Just keep the sheet going. Oh, it's going around. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So if you go back a line, and you heard the way that I made sure to emphasize it, right, that when a person says Mode Ani, it should be phrased as such, Mode Ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam, shechezarta binishmati bechemla, that you mercifully returned my soul to me, pause, Rabbah emunatecha. The Rabbah is not on the great mercy of God returning the soul. The Rabbah is connected to the emunatecha. How emunatecha here means your faith, meaning God's faithfulness. How great is your faithfulness, God, that you returned my soul to me and didn't keep it? That you returned my soul to me in the morning, and not only did you return it, you returned it to me refreshed. It went up exhausted, and I came up awake. Rabbah emunatecha, the two should be together, and the Mishnah Berurah makes note of that in the first line on the same column. That Rabba emunatecha should be connected to each other. And he says here again in the next line, Shekarash Baruch Hu mekayim emunato, that he keeps his faithfulness. Lahachazir nishamot hamufkadim baboker, that he keeps the souls coming back in the morning and returning to our bodies. Questions on Siman Aleph. On Seif Aleph, rather. Good? Not involving hand washing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? Good, let's go on to Sif Bet. Back on the previous page, page 8. The bet on top, the big bet on top in the Shulchan Aruch. Hamashkim lihitchanein lifnei bor'o, yichavein l'sha'ot shemishtanot hamishmarot. One who gets up to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should intend to do that l'sha'ot hamishtanot hamishmarot, at the time of the changing of the guards. When are they? Shem b'shlish halayla, ulisof shnei shlishay halayla, ulisof halayla, which is at the end of the first third of the night. If you were to take all of the nighttime hours, it doesn't matter how long it is in terms of clock time, if you were to just take it from the time it gets dark to the time it gets light, you were to take that and you were to divide that into 12 components, however many minutes that may be. So at the end of the first four, at the first third, which is four halachic hours into the night, that's when one should get up, 8 hours into the night, and then at the very end of the night. 4, 8, and 12 are the most meritorious times, the times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest listen to hear us cry out to him, are at those points of the night. That the tefillah that one says at those times, on the top of the next page, that specifically when one davens about the Chorban Habayis, about the destruction of the temple, and about us being in exile, that's the most the time of greatest appeasement, the time where those tefillah will be most accepted. Going into Gimel, and then we'll actually break that down a little bit. Ra'oi l'chol yirei shemayim, anybody who has a fear of heaven, it's proper for them, she meitzar v'do'eg al chorban beit hamikdash. A person should constantly be concerned and upset about the fact that we're living in a reality without a beit hamikdash. We don't keep it in the forefront of our mind often enough. And it's something that we should remember, is something which is supposed to be at the forefront of our mind all the time. And a person, I mean, in the previous generations, they really did. They got up in the first third of the night, and the second third of the night, and the third night, and they would get up and they would cry. Or they would get up at chatzot, which the Mishnah Berurah is going to mention at the very beginning of Sif Katan Tet by Gimel, if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. V'amikubalim he'erichu me'od. The Mikubalim went at length to describe Begoldol ma'alat kimat chatzot ki rabahi. At the idea of getting up at chatzot to daven at chatzot. Now your whole night shot, right? You're getting up at 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, and 12 hours. To get up at chatzot, u'kvar nidvas b'sidrim seder anagal pi kitvei ha'arizal. And according to the way that the Arizal organized it, there's a whole tikkun chatzot, of a way that a person should, what a person should say from chatzot on. Now, that being said, what does that mean practically for us? Most of us, unfortunately, don't do this. If you skip down in the Mishnah Berurah, about in the long lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines in parentheses, there's in Rashi script a Yud Zayin in parentheses. Mm-hmm. Does anybody not see it?
Yeah.
Can you show where it is? Where the Yud Zayin is in parentheses?
In Mishnah Berurah?
Yeah. You want to show them where it is? You can show it right here, where the Yud Zayin is.
I haven't found it yet.
I got it. It's right there. Yeah, that Yud Zayin, the right script Yud Zayin. Okay? So he says there, the Mishnah Berurah, Umisha'inu yachol hashkim kodem or aborka, one who can't get up before morning. Machamachu chalash betivo, that a person's weak in their nature, and many of us in this day and age are weak in our nature, especially with our sleep patterns, especially in college. Oh, shu yodea ba'atzmo, and this is a very important point. Oh, shu yodea ba'atzmo, he knows in himself or herself. Shim yakum ba'ashmoret ishan be'ita tefila, that the person is going to literally fall asleep or be exhausted during shacharis. Mutav lishon kol hatzarech. Meaning, it's better to sleep as much as you need to sleep. Meaning, the idea here is, and the Prima Gadim says this a little bit more explicitly, which one of the sources he's quoting from, the idea here is, don't sleep more than you need to sleep. They also used to go to sleep as soon as it got dark, and we don't do that anymore either. So even if you woke up 4 hours into the night, that was 4 hours of sleep. Or if you woke up just a chatzot, that was 6 hours of sleep. So we function totally differently, and that's not necessarily a good thing, it's just the reality of the way that we function. So if a person is going to be exhausted so much that they're going to fall asleep during chakras, sleep as much as you need to sleep, but don't just endlessly sleep because you enjoy sleeping, because you're lazy, because you like, the idea is, like we talked in the beginning, get up to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu with excitement. When you've slept enough to do it excitedly, right? So you can actually get up and do that. So that was the balance. I think Lynn, you brought that up less. I'm like, is this the halacha? Like, how do you do this? Like, that's where the balance comes in. But when you have slept enough, wait that second. You know, get out of bed when you're able to like immediately get out of bed and say modani with excitement. That's the idea.
You distinguish whether it's your hr or you actually need the sleep.
That's each one has to do their own cheshbon and nefesh. Usually a person knows the amount of hours that they need to really function. And also you know what minyan you really intended to go to in the morning or what time you intended to start davening in the morning. You know what your schedule is. Whether it's in shul, out of shul, doesn't matter. You know what your schedule is.
I can be legitimately tired, like when I wake up, you know, whatever.
Well, one should also need to do a cheshbon and nefesh about what time they go to sleep. And to make sure that they give themselves enough time to get enough sleep that they feel excited and awake to get up to go to chakras. It's the cheshbon and nefesh on both ends. But that's a general idea. That's a general idea. And to further clarify, if you keep going in that Mishnah Berurah that we were reading, right now it's right beneath the Yud Zayin at the period. Umikol makom yeh zahir me'od. One should be very, very careful. Lakum sha'a. Ulevachot chatzisha, at least an hour or a half hour. Kodem kriyat hashemash levet hakaneset, but in our times, meaning before shul starts. Kidei shiyeh yuchal hachin atzmo lipelo b'tzibur v'nekiyut. Meaning you shouldn't roll out of bed 5 minutes before davening. People do like this in camp. You know, like you literally roll out of bed 5 minutes before davening and show up in your t-shirt and sweatpants, right? Or you throw up on a wraparound skirt, right? And then just like as you're like falling into the wooden room in camp. So the idea here is like, no, you get up a half an hour before. You wake up with excitement, you wash up, you put yourself together, you're going to talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're going to talk to God, you're going to daven. So a person should keep that cheshbon. What time am I getting up tomorrow morning? What minyan am I going to? And make sure to set my alarm half an hour in advance and go to sleep with enough time to be able to get up and properly prepare myself for tefillah. That's the idea. Tov. We will stop there. Let's just finish about the stuff on the Beis Hamikdash, and we'll go into Dalad tomorrow, which is on Thursday, which is a whole different concept. That a person should always be meitzar, should always feel pain over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. So in Sif Katan Yud, in the Mishnah Berurah, Aval Atarava Tfila Yeh Besimcha. Right? It's a beautiful thing in contrast. Meaning, get up and be upset and cry about the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, but if you get up in the morning and then you go and learn, be excited when you're learning, be happy when you're learning, be happy when you're davening. And in terms of the Chorim Beis Hamikdash and Yud Aleph, and we'll stop with Yud Aleph for today, Katav Shla, the Shla says, Shebekol Suda, this is going to rock some of our worlds here, so hear this one. Shebekol Suda Yomar Al Narot Bavel, that before one benches every day for the same reason, to remember the Chorban Abayit, one should say Al Narot Bavel before benching every single day. Most of us don't, and it's on all of our Sidurim, it's in all of our benches. One really should say that before one benches. And then he says, though, on contrast, Uvish Shabbat, which we're used to, Bechein Biyamin She'eno Rim Bahem Tachanun. On Shabbos, in any day you don't say Tachanun, Yomar Shir HaMa'alot B'Shuv Hashem. We're used to only saying Shir HaMa'alot on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Any day that's a day where the whole world isn't saying Tachanun, not because like you have a chatan in your minin, that doesn't count, right? Where the whole world isn't saying Tachanun, then you don't have to say, then you should say Shir HaMa'alot and not Al Nor Obel. Vayikar Sheida Mak Amar, and you should want to know what they say. Vachar Kavanat Alev Himadrim. The whole idea is have the Kavanat Alev. So Rav Nemetzal just says that includes like even things like the entire month of Nisan, where you don't say Tachanun the entire month of Nisan. The entire month of Nisan, every time you wash, you should say Shir HaMa'alot before you bench.
What?
Yep. Halacha L'Maaseh. I mean, that's exactly what Mishnah Berurah said, but Rav Nemtzal is just driving the point home, because it's so antithetical to the way we generally act, that any time that's a day where you don't say tachon, it is a day where you should say shir amos before you bench. So feel the Chorban HaBayis, but also feel the simcha of Yom Tovim and days where there's no tachon. We'll pick up with Dalet on Thursday.